day the Lord has made. Perfect. Am I on, Shannon? Thank you. Okay, ladies, we're going to do something a little different this morning. I love hearing all this chatter. This is just great. We're going to do something a tiny bit different, and we're going to do some housekeeping first. Okay? Housekeeping. I can't help it if they're still talking. Okay, let's try one more time. This is the day the Lord has made. Perfect. We are going to start off the morning with some announcements and some housekeeping details. So the first thing I want to say is to welcome you, and especially those of you who have not studied with us before, we are so glad you're here. I want to thank you for your grace and your patience. You know, we are trying this whole new online registration thing, which in the long run is going to be fabulous. But in the meantime, it has a few kinks that we're getting worked out. So if you are one of the ones that we thought we had in a group, but you didn't hear from a group leader, see Kristen and Shannon in the back, okay? If you don't know your room number, see Kristen and Shannon in the back. If you need a name tag, see Kristen and Shannon in the back. If you need anything, see Kristen and Shannon in the back. My name tag, Brammer Nisley, was helping us set up this morning, and I commented that I needed a name tag because my name tag had gone on vacation to Australia. And he said to me, "Oh, I don't think he went that far. Maybe California." So my name tag will appear miraculously somewhere before next week, I'm quite sure. Announcements. We have Bucks for Bibles, formerly known as Cans for K. Those of you who are new, Kay Johnson collects aluminum cans. She is an equal opportunity collector. If you have a giant beer party on Saturday, please save the cans. She's not at all shy about turning those into Bibles. She takes the aluminum cans, recycles them, and uses the money, and then she and her husband match it to buy Bibles. And so since the first of this year, there's been $500 collected. And since 1994, when she started this, almost $10,000. So, yeah, that's great. Where's Kay? Is she here today? Bring your can. Oh, yeah. Reach Out to Read. No, what's it called? Bookspring. Reach Out to Read is another ministry that the Lamplighters are involved in. If you have gently used books for pre-readers or early readers, Hazel takes them to the clinics in East Austin, and the doctors prescribe them for reading for families, and it's a wonderful, wonderful national program that the Lamplighters are involved in. And I will just tell you right now, we are going to make announcements pretty much for what concerns Lamplighters, because otherwise we have the entire church wanting us to make announcements. So if it directly affects us, we're going to do it. Otherwise, we're going to try to hold announcements to minimum. There's Kay. She just came in. Kay, raise your hand. Y'all bring your cans and leave them on the corner down by the kitchen. And bring your books, and we'll have a little box out front for you to put those in. The second thing is about the Zambia mission. Some of you know that I was not able to go this year, because God said a giant, huge, whopping, big, fat no to me. And you're going to hear more about that story at some point during the year. But there were three Lamplighters who continued the mission. Suzanne McFarlane, where are you? She switched sides and went over to the church planting side. She said she got to be the nice white lady instead of the mean white lady this year because she wasn't in the medical clinic. Deb Reaver also switched sides. She went from church planting over into the eye clinic and was just a fabulous witness for Christ there. And Cheryl Banks, who continued to run the medical team. So those are three of our women who went. There's going to be a potluck this Saturday night here, 6 o'clock here. Bring something to share and hear stories and see the DVD and hear how your support, financial and prayer, really was effective this year. So that's that one. Walking the Mourner's Path. This doesn't directly affect us, but it does affect a lot of people who are in here. I know many, many people have lost loved ones in the last 6 months. Walking the Mourner's Path is spiritually directed, and it offers mourners ways to honor their loved ones and also to discover the hope and comfort that is in Jesus Christ. This is not limited to members. It's open to the community. So if you've lost a loved one or you know someone who has lost a loved one, this is a really good place for them. It'll start September 27th and November 15th, and you can see me or Kay Austin in the office if you want to know more about that. The last announcement we have is the artwork in this building. Many of you know, and many of you don't know, that it was inspired by and is reflective of the Genesis creation story. And one of our members, Sylvia Betts, who I thought I saw sneaking in at some point, there she is responsible for one of them. So as y'all are going, leaving this place on this floor and then on the floor down below, just take a note of the artwork and see which day in the creation story it reflects. Okay, that's the end of announcements. Now we're going to do that. Okay. Connections, this fourth segment. I hope you guys tried it. Did you? Did you have fun with it? One person said yes. Okay. This is by way of encouragement, because I think you guys, once you really get the handle of reading the scripture and listening to the Holy Spirit to see what it is about that text that resonates with you, you're going to love these stories. It's going to be your favorite part of the small group, I promise. We have a couple of guidelines for listening during that section. Actually, you could do it your whole small group. It would be helpful. Your small group leaders are going to have these. They're probably going to hand them out to you maybe next week. They're going to be posted on the web. We use them in our leaders' meeting, and we are going to be holding each other accountable and responsible for these this year. The reason is that when someone is speaking, they have responsibility, but so do the people who are listening. They have responsibility. And their responsibility creates a safe space for people to be able to share. Whether it's about the inductive or whether it's about what you found in your application or in the connection Holy Spirit space section. So we're going to give you some guidelines about that. Listening is probably the hardest thing we do, and that is because it requires us to be still internally. We have to internally kind of set aside our own agenda and really dampen down our own emotions, our own thoughts of what we're going to say next, and set all that aside and really listen actively to the person who's speaking. And that's hard. It requires practice. This is a great place to practice that. So we have guidelines for listening. It's important to remember that your participation is invited. It is not required. Not everybody is going to have a story every week. But hopefully during the course of the year, everybody will get to share. So you are invited, it's not required. The second thing is to invite the Holy Spirit into the process. Be intentional about that. It always helps to pray first. When you're stuck, stop and pray. And be open to what He wants to do, both in you through your story and in you as the listeners. So be intentional about that. Confidentiality. We stress this every year. It's very, very, very important. Think of it this way. Someone's story or someone's words, what they say, what they share, is their property. You're not allowed to trespass on their property. You can't share their story, even a teeny little part of it, without permission. I'm going to share a little tiny story later about Edward and his daughter, Maggie, and I had to call him this morning and say, this came up as sort of a lecture illustration. Is it okay if I use it? He went, sure, Mom. But anyway, that's it. You need permission. Don't share anybody else's story. And for heaven's sakes, don't ask them in front of their husband on this patio on Sunday, you know, how their marriage is doing. Not a good idea. Focused attention on the speaker means eye contact and really listening, really concentrating on what they're saying. That lets the speaker know you're not bored. You're not thinking about your grocery list. You're not wishing you were someplace else. You're not trying to think of a story in your life that tops their story. You are really focused in and listening on them. Fifth one is unconditional acceptance. Grace, not judgment. I think we're pretty good about this. But just as a reminder, because I know it happened to me last week, somebody started telling me something, not a lamplighter. Somebody started telling me something, and my internal reaction was, well, that was the stupidest thing you've ever done. It was a judgment. It was a critical reaction that I had. And I remembered this, and I thought, okay, I'm going to suspend that criticism and insert wonder instead. I wonder what I would have done if I had been in that situation. I wonder what I would have done if I felt that. So try to do that in your small groups, because some of us are really good fixers, which is the next one, and we have really good ideas, okay? But when we interject those into someone's life story, what we've told them is, you can't do it. You can't handle it. You're not smart enough. You're not as good as I am. Because if you would just do what I say, then all of this would work out, right? I'm sure no one has ever gone to their husband wanting to dump something on him, and he instead wanted to fix it, right? Well, you know how that feels. It doesn't feel very good. So that's the next guideline. Actually, this is a rule. No fixing, advising, or rescuing. Okay? That's hard for us, because in our lives as women, we're used to fixing and advising and rescuing. Okay? So in your small group, don't do that. When you do, it kind of pushes the soul back into hiding. And it doesn't allow a safe place for that person to come out. Let the person have the emotion. And sometimes that's really hard for us, particularly if the emotion's really deep. So just let that be. Maintain that attention and then send up a silent prayer if you want to. The last one is listen to the silence. This is really hard for some of us because silence makes us uncomfortable. And we feel like we need to fix, advise, or rescue. You know, so we'll jump into that silence with a question or a comment. If you can just hang back 2 or 3 seconds, what the silence allows is it allows the speaker to hear herself and to kind of process. It allows the listener to process. And what comes out of that silence is frequently what really needs to be shared. It's sort of a gateway for honesty and for learning. So don't fill the silence too quickly. And I know that's going to feel uncomfortable. That'll take us some practice to do that. All right, these are the rules. Now, y'all know in Lampfires we don't have very many rules, okay? Because there are a lot of us that just go, it's a rule, I'm going to break it, you know? And I confess I fall into that category. But these rules I have discovered to be very, very helpful, particularly in this connection section, this storytelling section, mainly because they help you listen. They enable you to get drawn into the story and not be thinking about what you're going to say. So it really enables that focused attention. So when someone shares a story, afterwards, these are the only 3 things you're allowed to respond with. All right? The first one is, what captured your attention? What resonated with you? When did you see the storyteller come alive with that story? Okay, that's something that you can comment on. Because it's not saying, well, this was my emotion, and therefore I have this story about that emotion. You can't hijack the story, all right? So what captured your attention? What drew you in? Where did you see the storyteller come alive? The second one is, where did you see God at work in the story? Because that's the whole point, is to make the connection between Scripture and God's story and our own stories in our lives. And frequently, the one who's living the story can't see where God is at work. And that's the blessing of being with sisters in Christ who love you and who are full of grace, is that they can point that out. That's the second thing. Third thing is something you wanted to know more about. We showed Lynn Adams' story last week, and I was privileged to be in the story circle time with her when she first wrote that. And it was a much longer story, which was great. It was good. But at the end of it, all of us in that story circle said, wait a minute, we wanted to know more about the moment you met Neil. You said it was a life-changing moment. We want to know more about that moment. What was it about that moment? So she went back and rewrote the story focused on that moment. Now, all moments are not life-changing, but all moments are significant because they're part of God's story. So what you wanted to know more about. It takes courage to share. Honor that. It's an honor to hear and to share, hear those stories that are shared, that's really good. Affirm the speaker, pray for them, those kinds of things that y'all do very, very, very well. And just remember that listening is hard in part because it's the S word, submission. We have to, for a time, set aside our own needs and elevate the needs of another person. David Augsburger says, being listened to is so close to being loved that most people don't know the difference. We've all had times in our lives where we just wanted to be heard, right? Well, that's what this connection piece is all about. So, then I have a couple of tricks for reading Genesis, and then we're going to sing and get into the lection. Remember that Genesis is God's story. So, because he's the storyteller, he gets to tell it the way he wants to. And which means that he doesn't tell us some things that we want to know. But he tells the things that are important to the story. Don't go to Genesis looking for answers. As we said last week, it's going to generate a lot of questions. Go looking for direction. So just remember that as you're reading. The second thing is there's a theological motivation behind the book of Genesis. Moses is writing from a certain perspective. It's not like a video. You know, if I took a video of all of y'all, it would be fairly realistic, right? It's more like a portrait. And any portrait artist will tell you, any of the artists who did anything hanging on our walls will tell you that you emphasize some aspects over others. That's what Moses is doing here. The whole point, though, is to reveal God. So there's a theological motivation. And the last one is words. The thing that is so wonderful, y'all know I'm kind of a word freak, and the thing that is so wonderful about Genesis and so maddening about Genesis is Hebrew. The Hebrew language is very restrained in everything. And so words become pregnant with significance. And we're going to have an example of that in our text for today that I'm going to give you later. So when you're reading, pay very close attention to the words. Because if they're descriptive, they're there for a reason. And also, pay close attention to the words that are not used. Because that's part of, the words that are not used, are part of the message that Moses is writing in the book of Genesis. Okay, that's that. We're going to sing a hymn now. Some of you are familiar with this. Where's Erin? Here she comes. If you're able, stand. This is kind of going to break it up for us before we start our lesson. If you know it, sing it. If you don't, sing it. The words are fabulous. The tune is easy. You can...